This is the third month, the 19th day of the year 2023. It's the fourth Lord's Day in Advent, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice.
And it's known as Lectare Lord's Day, which is the midway mark between Lent. The midway mark. And St. Joseph is, I thought, oh yeah, he is today. I'm thinking 19, but we transferred it.
Yeah.
To tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, I see on that. If you look at the calendar, I kept saying 19. That's St. Joseph. Feast day of St. Joseph. Yesterday was St. Cyril of Jerusalem catechetical lectures. He was the expert on the his catechetical lectures are sublime. And he was like a real great defender against Arianism. And then Patrick before that, and then Benedict on the 21st.
I know. It's a power pack week.
It's a power pack week. No, we got the Annunciation coming up, don't we?
Exactly. Yeah, the 25th.
Yeah. And this guy in New Jersey, he owned two casinos, the Taj Mahal, and there was another one on the bay that he owned. I forget the other one. He had two of them. And there was Bally. He had a lot of casinos. I used to go down there and play blackjack and all that. I used to go on this one guy, a lot of money. That guy, Glenn Rawson, they thought he was a Jew, but he's really Norwegian. Man, that guy was a hustler, man. He had Orthodox Jews buying from him. That's how good he was. Orthodox Jews buying from him. And every time he would gamble $500 at a clip on one thing. He went to the bathroom once and he left the chips in front of him. He says, play for me while I'm going to the bathroom. I said, you want me to throw out $500 chips? The purple ones, you know?
Yeah.
Every time, but he would lose a lot. So he liked dice, rolling dice mostly. Uh-huh. So when we walked out, we'd walk out of the casino, he says, I just bought another chandelier. I just brought another chandelier. I used to do the card counting, so. I didn't have the money that he had.
Yeah.
But I used to win a lot because I did the car count. I got kicked out of casinos in Las Vegas because of that. The first time I ever went there in my life. In one casino. Huh. And car counting is not cheating. It's not cheating. See, it's memory, but it's more than memory. It's like the high cards, like I remember, from 10 to 10th king are like plus one. 2 to 5 or minus one. It's real easy, you see? Minus one, plus one. So you're keeping count. If you have a high plus count, that means that like a lot of high cards came out. If you have a minus 10 count, a lot of low cards came out. And so you can sort of predict. If you're only playing with one deck, you can kill them. You can definitely get them. That's why they went to 6 decks. They would mix 6 decks together, and they would only go 3/4 through the 6 decks and then remix them again. But why not for Las Vegas? It was only one deck. Now, some people used to bring little computers with them in their pocket, and they would hit numbers. 10 to king, a 10 to a king is a plus one, a 2 to a 5 is a minus one.
Yeah.
And then you think about it. You keep adding that up. If you have like a minus 10, that means a lot of low cards came out.
Yeah.
Came out already. There's a lot of bricks in, called bricks, 10 point cards. So anyway, I went there, and I was doing the counting and all that. I must have won only $200 the whole day. They moved me to another table because you get the eye in the sky looking at you. And then I finished the whole night of money and made $200 only. I'm walking out, and the guy comes up and goes, oh, where are you from? I said, well, I'm from New Jersey. I'm just visiting my brother. He says, well, he says, you know, you're welcome to come here and play any game you want, but you can no longer play blackjack. Neither here nor in any of our casinos in Las Vegas.
Oh.
By the way, you know what I said to him? I said, you flatter me. I says, I made $100, $200.
Yeah.
I said, you're flattering me.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't make a million, but they want to stop it in the bud.
Yeah.
They want to nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
That was my gambling day. The gambling's okay if you do it for,
I think $200 wouldn't even get their attention,
No, but because they're worried if you're going to keep coming back.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to keep coming back into the other casinos. But what I did, it's a long story. I thought you could make a living at it. Maybe you could if it was one deck, but when it came to 6 deck, it's just... Now, you can gamble, we say that, for fun. You can even, in poker, if it's your professional and you're good at it, you can gamble as a living if you're making a living at it. If you know, as long as you're not, and I go over the rules on gambling, but here's what happened. I just give you my experience. Maybe this will help people that are gambling. If it's something where you can't make a living at it and you're depending on it to make a living, it's a disaster because, you know, one of my friends who's a big gambler on a horse races, he would buy his wife a big fur coat and a big diamond ring, and then a week later, he's got a hocket because he's up and down with the gambling thing. But with the blackjack, when it came to 6 decks, you can still count. But it's not like with just one deck. So I was still doing it. And I'm thinking maybe if I can make $100 a day, I'm making $500 a week and all that. But it's work. You want to talk about work? I'd rather have a regular job than have to do that. Because you're counting, you're looking, and then you're afraid. I just, maybe for people who have this thing, you know, they want to hear this. So what happens a lot of times is when you're gambling and you go down to your last $5. No, I used to go to the I used to like the $2 tables, but you can hardly get them. Then it was $5 minimum. Then it had $10 minimum, then $25 minimum, then some were $100 minimum. I didn't like the tens. I would go to the fives or the two. Yeah. But when you're down to your last $5, you could come back with that, and you can come back and make $300-$400 because five, 10, 20, you're back again. I'm just so your mentality is, I don't even want to buy a cheeseburger because I need the $5 just in case I get down to $5 and I got to come back again. You know, so you're not even eating right. You don't want. And you're playing through the night. They give you drinks, too, to keep you going there. They water them down a little bit. But anyway, so money, and money loses its perspective. When you can, like, win $100 in one clip, it's like, why should I go to work? And I got to work all day, 2 days to get $100. So that's another thing that happens. And this is, again, this is something where you really can't make a living at it with six decks. Not like poker. Some people could make a living in poker. Because if you know how to regulate your thing, and poker doesn't, you have other people involved, the house has no stake in it, that's another situation. Or if you had the one deck blackjack with counting allowed, then maybe. But anyway, just, so I remember one day, and I was I'm going late into the night, you know, and you'll go late into the night because you want to, you know, you're trying to get back. You know, and you have some days where it's horrible. You get killed no matter where you go. Then you'll try to go to another table. Then you go to another casino and another table. And it's the same thing. But and then sometimes, so anyway, I remember one night, this is what got me to change my whole attitude, because I knew you couldn't make a living at it because it's too much. You got to stay there too long. You're not making enough. The six steps is too hard. But I remember one night I was sitting at the table, right? And I'm looking at this guy over here. It's late at night, and he's flicking his chips like this. He's flicking his chips, and he's just staring ahead. There's, a woman over here, and she's flicking her chips and just staring ahead. And I'm looking at me. I'm flicking my chips. And I'm just staring ahead like this. I'm a zombie. I'm a zombie. What am I doing here? This is wrong. This is bad. I got to stop. You know, and you don't even stop to eat, like I said before. Yeah. I got $5 because you do. You can go in there with $200, end up with $5, and come back to $2 again with the $5.
Yeah.
So you don't even want to eat.
Yeah.
You know, they give you sometimes free buffets and stuff. But so that was it. I went, it's easier. This is impossible. I'm doing this no more.
Yeah.
That is it. I didn't stop gambling. But what I did as a gambler, I said, it's going for fun now.
Yeah.
It's recreation. I'm going to go down there to gamble, but no more to make a living. So, like, in other words, if you want to go out and spend $50 on a play and a dinner, or $100 with your wife and your family, you want to go out $100 and you want to spend $100 on a dinner and on a play or on a movie, that's the way I looked at it. So when I went down there, I said, I'm going to go down there with $100 or even with just $50, and I'm going to lose it. I'm planning to lose it. And when I lose it, I'm done. I'm going home. If I win, I win. I just want to have enough time to have some fun at the game. I don't want to lose it in one clip. I want to play a little bit for a couple hour or two, and then I lose it or I win. And then that everything changed. Then it was for, just purely for recreation, and you didn't have that, you know, what goes on.
Yeah.
And then for gambling for recreation is fun.
I was always afraid of the fact that if I won, I wouldn't know how to stop when I won. You know, I could say, okay, I don't want to lose. I can lose $50, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I can. But what if I win $200?
Yeah, I want more.
You know, how do I?
Yeah.
You know, how do I stop myself from trying to be all in? You know, whatever.
I know. That's why even TJ with poker, you can do it because some people do make a living in poker because they're good at it. They know how to regulate their money. You have to know when to stop. You have to know how much to save or reserve, and so you got to regulate it. And poker's another thing too, because when you're playing, it's just five people. You're all making money. The house just takes 10% of every pot. See, when you're playing blackjack, the house is playing against you. You're playing against the house. Right. You're playing against the dealer. But you have to discipline yourself if you are going to do it. But another thing I think is like that, too, horse racing. You think you're going to make a living in horse racing? Now, some people are really good, but there's a lot of corruption in horse racing because you got a jockey. Yeah, they don't bribe the horses, but they bribe the jockeys.
Yeah.
They could probably drug the horses, but the jockeys get bribed, believe me. I knew horse racing, you can never make a living at that. It's just for fun. You can go there for fun. Horse racing is. You can gamble for horse racing, but no blood money. Just recreation money for fun. And it can't be any money that you need to pay your bills, to pay your food. And it's extra money for recreation. I'm going to go on a skiing trip. I'm going to go out and have a dinner. I'm going to go out and watch a movie. I'm going to go out and go ice skating. Or I'm going to go out and gamble. It's recreation. It's fine. But when it becomes more than that, it becomes bad. But you know how you can tell they cheated? We used to go to the Trotters in New Jersey, in the Meadowlands. They had the Trotters. So you'd be betting on this one guy, right? And he's winning. Like, he's ahead by, like, 5 lengths. He's coming to the final thing. He's leaning back on the horse, and he's pulling the brakes on. I go, what the heck is going on here? This guy's, like, pulling the brakes on, and the other guy's run by him. All big corruption in there. They corrupt sports. You know, it ruined sports, too. When it ruined boxing, was very corrupt.
Yeah.
But even the guy on the Ross thing corrupted the World Series, didn't he?
Yeah.
With the White Sox?
Yeah.
So you can get to people, and that's when then they ruin the sport itself, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving you guys a little lesson. Maybe you just got to want them to give a lesson on gambling and stuff. And if you're a hardcore gambling on sports, too, you don't care about any favorite teams. You just care about money, and it ruins the sport, if you ask me. You can still gamble on sports recreationally. It's fun, like the tickets we used to have.
Yeah.
But the people that are really like crazy on it, it's like they have no allegiance to any team. All it is the point spreads and everything. Mm-hmm. They have no allegiance. And we would get angry. You're supposed to support the Giants. Oh, Giants, Jets, who cares? I just want to make money. I don't care what. I just go for the point spreads and everything, you know? Of course, if you're, you know, but... So that's the thing on gambling, which you got to be careful on. Gambling for fun? Yeah, it is fun. It's recreation. But you got to make sure it's money. Extra money you have left over, of course. And you can't say, I can't pay my tithes because I spent it on recreation. As you said, for your tithes, you take out all your living expenses. Food and everything else, rents and utilities, you pay 10% on that. Then whatever's left, you can go out.
Yeah.
And then if you want on gambling, you'd have to give the church a tithe.
Yeah.
So if you want $1,000 gambling, you have to give the church $100.
Yeah.
But so if you regulate it and you go there and you say, look, I got $50. I can either go ice skating, I can go to dinner, or I'm going to go to the casino and play blackjack or poker or whatever. And I'm going to leave when I win a certain amount or I lose, then you go home. You don't dip in the pocket after you lose the 50. That was my 50. I'm going home. It's for recreation. Even slot machines are like that. You know. Any questions on that from any of the brothers? But it's amazing how you don't. This is an important lecture though for people. But
when you reach him.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I have a suggestion of a good movie on gambling.
Yeah.
It's called Uncut Gems by Adam Sandler.
Oh.
It shows he's an apostate Jew who gambles on NBA.
Yeah.
I think it needs a lot of censoring, but
yeah,
it's a very good movie.
Good. Send it to me, Matthias, in the link. Type it in so we'll get it. Here's another couple ones that Matthias
was talking
about. It shows you, there's another one with James Caan.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was a basketball sports gambler. James Caan was a good one. Famous James Caan was in it, and he was addicted to it. It shows you how, anything you get addicted, addictions are bad. Like, you can get addicted to food, you can get addicted to alcohol, and gambling, too. Gambling, people, is a really horrible thing, but it's just like anything else. You can be addicted to your own job, a workaholic, and all you do is work, and you don't have any social life. You can be addicted to studying too much to faith and not recreating. You can be addicted to anything. You got some people that just look at the faith like an intellectual endeavor, and they dive into it, and it's all intellectual, and it's like a drug. But there's no heart with them. They have no love, no faith. They have no other life out there to live it out. But Get that one. There's another good one, though. The Sting.
The Sting, yeah.
That was really good. I think I have that
one. You
had
that one.
I think I did, yeah, with Paul Newman and Robert Redford. That was good.
Yeah.
That was a good one. That was interesting the way down with the Sting. Remember that?
Yeah.
Anybody watch that? But the one with James Caan, it shows you the a guy who's addicted to gambling. That's what happened with what's his name's father, and that's why he got killed.
Oh, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
Yeah. And then Michael Jordan quit basketball for went to baseball.
Yeah.
It was, they went to Michael Jordan to throw a couple games.
Exactly.
Yeah. And his father, too, was big in gambling, yeah. And if once you get involved in that, you know, if it's like anything else. If it gets out, of you could be addicted to it.
Yeah. Jordan, that's his thing.
Yeah.
They bring like a whole stack of cash.
Yeah. And play all through the night. Mountains of cash.
Yeah, that was a night for me, though, you know? Click, 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 click. First I was looking, and he's going.
Yeah.
He's going.
Yeah.
And I'm going.
Yeah.
I have a question though. You said
and I was hungry too, and I didn't want to eat because of the $5.
Yeah, you were shriveled up. You were like emaciated, right?
Yeah.
No, like with the guys, you say they click when they like. How do they look at? You know what I'm saying? They when they count cards, but you said they click.
They have watches.
Okay,
where
so
they show up on a watch.
Oh, I.
They all kinds of things.
Okay.
Now basically,
how would they be able to catch that? Like,
well, they did eventually. But in the beginning, they didn't.
Okay.
They'd have a watch here where they tap, then you look at their watch, and they'd have a number on there. So like they had computers. Mm-hmm. Technically, though, that's still not cheating.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Now, if you're only one deck, you don't even need any. Yeah. If you just, okay, for instance, a king comes out, that's plus one. A two comes out, that's a minus one. You get zero. A king and a queen comes out, that's plus one, plus two. A jack comes out, you're up to plus three now. A three comes out, you're down to plus two now because it went down one. Now a two comes out, now you're down to plus one. A king comes out, back up to plus two. And it's that's the way you got to remember. And so when you got a high plus count, what is that telling you? That there's a lot of bricks out that came out already. There's some low cards in there. If you have a high minus count, a lot of your 2 through 5 cards came out, which when you have like a 15 and you want to take a hit on a 14 or a 15, you want to have a 2 through 5 come out so you don't break. It's real easy with one deck, even two decks. But that's with Ed, what they would do with one deck, they would play it down to the end. They'd play the whole deck out. So, I mean, that's like, you know, so from their perspective, they did have to do something. Because the house got to, see, that's with poker, the house has no stake in it. Mm. When you're playing poker, the house takes 10% of every pot, or 5% of every pot, and the players are playing with one another. There's no stake in it. But when you have 6 decks mixed, and they only get to about 3/4 of the 6 decks, which is about 4 decks, or something like that, they reshuffle. They reshuffle. Rolling dice, you know, that's a big one. Roulette, roulette, that's got all kinds of rules on it, too. But so gambling's fun if you do it for recreation. It is fun. I mean, even a couple of guys, well, we used to get together to play poker, and you could say everybody puts in $10, and we have like we'd have like 50-cent chips, you know, quarter chips, $1 chips, or $20. 5 guys are playing that night. We all put in $20, and that's so. What are you going to lose that night? $20. And if the one guy wins everything, he gets $100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the winner, or it could split out. But that's a good way to play poker. If you don't want to play, if you're not good, you come and you take $20 worth of chips. 5 guys are playing. As soon as you run out of your $20 chips, you're out, and that's all you can lose. Mm-hmm. We played poker once with an open end. This wasn't poker. This was another game. Where if you don't put limits on it, you get in trouble. It was called, I forget the name of it. But it's called high-low. So you'd have a 2 here, and you'd have a king here, and the next card's got to come out in the middle. And you would bet on if the next card's going to come out in the middle. The big splits, let's say the ace is the high card. Or I think it might have been low in this case, but I think it was high. So you've got 2 aces, then there's a whole middle. The only way you can lose is if a 2 or an ace comes out. But anyway, we were gambling one night, and we put no limits on it. So if you don't put limits on it, you get in trouble real quick. And we were just a couple friends, us. We were friends, and we're playing, and one of my friends was getting his butt kicked, and we didn't have no limit on it. And my other friend was winning, and he was racking them. And I said, this is getting crazy. There's no limit on it. We should have put a limit on this. It got so high that my friend who was losing, he had no more money, left him, he was gonna give him his car, sign over the title to his car. And I went, and my friend said, go on, I won. I said, wait a second. and the friend said, yeah, okay, I'll take the title for your car. So I said, I hope my friend who put the title up wins so he doesn't have to give up his car. Well, he won, and he didn't have to give up his car. And then I said, we don't do this ever again. No more do we do this again. From now on, we come in here with a set amount of money, $20, $50, $30, even if you want $100. But after that, you go home. Nobody loses more than that. And it's getting vicious. Oh, they were going at the top, over at it. It was like an Irish friend and an Italian friend. My Italian was losing. The Irish kid was taking the town. And then, but finally he won. But when the title came up, he won. I said, stop.
Yeah.
After that, I said, we're ending.
Yeah.
We're not playing in here this anymore. So you learn. You learn. You see. Yeah. There's rules. There's rules. We got the rule of law. We got rules.
But the Richard, I have a question. So here in Brazil, casinos are forbidden. So there's basically no gambling. But there is a lot of lotos. What about lotos?
Oh yeah,
lotteries.
Yeah, you. I don't play the lottery because I want to put my trust in God giving me money. You can play the lottery though, but as long as you don't spend blood money on it. I don't play it from. I just something I have because God's given me enough money. I don't need to go to the lotto. God could have me hit the lotto if I want money, and I could win. But I don't want to say you can't do it. But some people are crazy with the lotto. If you're spending blood money on lotto cars, you got a problem. If you're buying one or two lotto numbers, it's not a big deal. Now, what happens like in Brazil, and it's when gambling is publicly forbidden, it goes underground. And you'll always have an underground community, which they, when gambling was forbidden in New Jersey, the mob guys would run the gambling. Right. You can go to any local place in your where I grew up, and they'd have card games. Right. They'd have bets for horse racing. Mm-hmm. And that's how the mob guys made a lot of their money, on horse racing and mm-hmm. illegal when gambling was illegal, which it shows in the crime story.
Yeah, I was going to say, crime story shows.
Yeah. So you can argue whether it's a good thing to ban it altogether, or for the state to regulate. Now, in a Catholic state, we would regulate it so that we would make sure if anybody showed signs of addiction to it and they couldn't handle it, we would ban them from playing gambling until they learned how to gamble properly. And if they didn't learn how to gamble properly, we won't let them gamble. So in a Catholic, it's like anything else. It's like alcohol. If you get a guy in a Catholic state who's a drunkard, and he gets drunk and then he gets silly and stupid or worse, violent, that's an abomination. We don't accept that. And you got a guy, that's a guy who drank too much. Or if you eat too much and you become gluttonously fat to the mortal sin area, we'd have to lock that guy up and starve him down. You know? So you can abuse anything. And the alcohol, to me, when you got an alcoholic father that's violent and crazy and he's spending all of my money, that guy in the Catholic state, I say, if you don't stop in 3 months on your own, I'm going to lock you up in jail for about 3 months to 6 months. And we'll give him a couple of chances. And I give him 3 or 4, then lock him up for a year. Then maybe after the third time I say, you do again, I'm going to kill you. Because there's nothing, that guy's killing his family. And what gets me angry is, a lot of these movies, these stupid people, these confessors, you'd have an alcoholic husband, even a wife can be an alcoholic, and she's a terror too, even worse than a man. You get a woman alcoholic, woo. But neither one is good. And my point is, if I'm a priest and the priest just go to confession, I absolve you, and you tell a wife and the kids you got to live with them. I got to live with them. He curses. He beats us unjustly. You can beat people if they deserve it. Unjustly. Curses. Breaks things up. He just destroys the whole family, and we have to live with that? Since when? Since when? In a Catholic country, you got to live. What does St. Paul say? Don't even eat with the drunkard. No. Don't even eat with the drunkard. 1 Corinthians 5:11. In my true Catholic society, that guy's ass is out of the family. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't go back in that family until he stops becoming a drunkard. Yeah. But this goes back years now, even when they allow red light districts in so-called Catholic nations, which Alphonse Liguori supported. He says it's better to have a whorehouse and let a Catholic go to a whore than he commits adultery with his neighbor's wife. Oh, so then we should do the Epstein thing. Where do you get whores from? Girls that aren't married. Young girls attractive girls. Alphonse said it's better to do. All right, it's better to do that. If you're going to do then, so we got to have these areas because it'll prevent adultery from being committed. And we got all kinds of crazy things going on here. You see, all kinds of crazy people addicted to sex. Don't think you can have sexual relations, a husband and a wife, to do what they have to have children. It's a beautiful thing being a husband and a wife, but we don't know what that. The world's so perverted with the sex thing. It's out of context. If you trained your kids in the grace of God in the right way, they would know from their birth, from their childhood even, that son, the only time you're going to ever have any kind of sexual relations is with your when you get married with your wife and with the intention to have kids. And that's perverted too. But just like gambling can be perverted too. But gambling's not intrinsically evil. It could be a fun thing. Some of these games too you play, it's not like money, but they give you chips or Monopoly. You have fake money. Or you're playing with chip. It's the same kind of a principle. The money thing might make it a little more interesting. But how you spend your money on recreation, so it's not intrinsically simple. If I'm going to go out and spend $20 on a ice skating or a dinner, but instead I want to play poker with my buddies for $20 or go to a casino or for $50 or something and play blackjack, and when I lose I go home, there's no problem with that. Or you just got to make sure that that's money that's over and above your expenses. The husband and is responsible for the upkeep of his home, rent, utility, electric, food, and everything. It's over and above. It's recreational money that you would use for vacations or going out to dinner or for some other type of thing, and then it's fine. And you got the Stoics influenced all this stuff too. Because you got a few people that abuse gambling, they said gambling's evil. Because you got people that get drunk, they said drinking's evil. And all alcohol's evil. That's what the Southern Baptists believe, that all alcohol's evil. And that Christ was only drinking grape juice. It gets silly. And the Stoics have influenced. That's where the joy goes out of your life. There is no real joy. If just go back in your life, even when I grew up before Vatican II, but nominal Catholic, they're kind of Stoic or weird. There's just something weird about them. And they're under this, like, veil, or they feel guilty about when they're doing anything. Too bad they weren't feeling guilty about Santa Claus and the faith, though. It's kind of weird, though, because the Stoic falls out on the left. He becomes liberal. Follow the Stoic. He becomes liberal himself. Himself. Because he's got these guilts. It almost drives you insane. I've seen it. It's a form of insanity. So we ended up giving a lecture today. Anyway. As we always do. Let's see. What else did I have here? All right, the memorization verse, it's Luke 8:21. It's about against family idolization, where Jesus said, "My mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and keep it." My mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's true family. And I might have one more. I was thinking this will be a 401 again. That one on 10:21, brother shall rise up against brother. The father shall rise up against the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and put them to death.
That's Luke
10:21?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I might put that next week. But this shows
you... Richard.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it keep it or do it?
Oh, do it. It's do it, yeah. Check it anyway to make sure. You know, it's interesting. That verse is off of a Proverbs 3:12. It's the same thing. Blessed are he, the word of God... And we'll read Proverbs 2:12 in a second, too, to show you where that was taken off of. Yeah, the connection between the two of them.
What verse was it again?
Luke 8:21.
Who answering said to them, "My mother and my brethren are they who hear the word of God and do it."
And do it. Now look at Proverbs 3:12. Let's see if I'm right. Or if I'm wrong. Could be wrong. I knew I got it. My brother was wrong. He was wrong. It wasn't Proverbs. It was the Psalms.
Proverbs 3:12, verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastises and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Blessed is the man that.
And that's interesting. It's not the one I wanted, but that's the one from Hebrews 12.
Yeah.
That's Hebrews 12:6.
Yeah.
But there's another one from the Old Testament. It's the same wording almost. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. That's from the Old Testament. It's the same one as what Jesus said. It shows you the continuity of the Word of God. Christ is the living Word. But there's some one of the Old Testament passages in the Proverbs says, "Blessed are the God, neither keep it or do it." And that's also in the Old Testament. But that's interesting. That one is from Hebrews 12:6 and 8.
Yeah.
Oh, but like the Old Testament is different than us. That's us. It belongs to Catholicism. We're the fulfillment and the continuation. Not only do we fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, a lot of them, but not all of them yet. There's still a lot of Old Testament prophecies that are ongoing. But that's where we got our faith from. I mean, it's
Proverbs. If you knew Moses, you would know.
Yeah, that's
Proverbs 8:32. Now, therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways.
That's it. Yeah. Proverbs 8:32. Yeah, blessed are they who keep my ways. I used that in the beginning when people, and this is the big heresy you see today, you're saved by faith alone. Mm-hmm. Right? This is faith in deeds.
Right.
Faith in deeds. Blessed are they who hear my word and do it. If you don't do it, you're not blessed, you're damned. We got at least 1,000 verses on faith and deeds.
I was thinking today we went by the Protestant church just right when we come out of our road. And it's all full of cars and everything. You know, we got 11 people and some people on Discord. How is it that they fill up every one of these Protestant churches all over the place all the time? It must be really easy.
If the Protestant churches were preaching what they should be preaching, they would empty out.
No. That's right.
That's why they're afraid. Everybody's afraid of the numbers game. So, like, even though they'll preach some hard things, they don't go far enough, they get a certain group. And when they get that certain group, they find out one day they preach a little hard and, like, a couple of them leave, then they back off. Because they don't want to lose their flock. It's human respect. That's what they care about. They care about numbers. Okay. Last thing I would recommend... I got so much good stuff on that website, you know, I feel sorry that these people don't want, if they look at it, it's all there. Like, I was rewatching one of the conspiracy things on Zionism against Marching Against Zion with Steve Anderson and Tex Mars. That is a nuclear bomb. That he did such a great job on that video, and he's talking to apostate Jews, and they don't realize he's, like, getting stuff out of them. Yeah. I don't know if you guys ever watched it. But I'm going to have to make a recommendation, even on my What's New, to watch that Marching to Zion with Steve Anderson. It is, we got to pray for that guy. What a great job. And he's got a lot of your Spanish ministers that are with him, really convicted. And man, it's even humorous when you look at it. It's unbelievably powerful when you look at that Marching to Zion. And he condemns Zionism. He condemns all these people that are calling the Jews God's chosen people. This guy, Steve Anderson, got to pray for him. He's a bulwark. He did a great job on that. We're going to pray for that girl who left. She's probably a lot older now, but who left that Satanism on the 60-minute thing. That was from 1989.
Yeah, I remember that.
Teresa. We're going to pray for her. She's still alive, I hope. You know, anyway. Yeah. What a horrible thing. What a disguise.
Yeah.
That's the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do to get the ultimate power of the devil.
Uh-huh.
Or you never become like a high-level witch or warlock.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you just watch TV now and the commercials are Satan, hell,
baldy-headed lesbians, homos, black radicals, a bunch of young kids running around, goofing around, recreating.
Disney.
The girls are all in the car driving. They have no families anymore. You don't see mother, father, and children in a family. Or you see two guys. Or you see the guy doing the cleaning. Watch out a lot, though. The guy's doing the dishes. The guy's changing the diapers. Yeah. And the wife's sitting around, bossing them around. I mean, it's just... The devil's in such total control
right
now.